Attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Listen in Orange Park at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Those of you who regularly listen to the show know that I have hosted for Dr. Youngblood previously, and it's always an honor and a pleasure for me to do so. A little bit about myself. I'm from the Pensacola, Florida area. That's where I reside now. I own an insurance and financial services agency and have been doing that for the past 33 years. Before that, I spent 10 years active duty Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy. I spent the years from 2013 to 2020 as a Florida State representative, first representing District 2 and then District 1. But I finished my political career in 2020, and now I call myself a recovering politician. I get asked all the time, Mike, will you run for office again? And my answer is always first a shudder and shaking my head no, but then the response, only if God gives me that assignment. And if he doesn't give me that assignment, then no, I have no desire to run for office again. So we have a lot of things that we can talk about today, and I'm excited to get started on that. But first, let's look at this. One of the sponsors of our show, Let's Face the Issues, is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. You can reach them online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, one of the first things I want to talk about is a candidate comparison that we have. You know, the GOP is going to host another presidential debate here in the near future, and there are only four candidates who qualified, actually five. President Trump qualified, and he decided to not participate. And I'm going to agree with President Trump on his non-participation. I don't see how it's going to benefit him at all by doing so. People know where he stands on the issues. And in fact, I don't think we need any more of these debates. They're spending a ton of money that the Republicans could be using instead to try to defeat Democrats. Everyone knows by now where their candidate stands on certain issues. So by hosting these debates, it's not going to change anyone's mind. I just think it's a waste of time. And I will admit this. I have not watched a single debate. There's been, what, three so far? This will be the fourth one. They're going to schedule two more. If you don't know by now who you want to vote for, you just haven't been paying attention. So even by not watching the debates, I know where the candidates are on each issue that comes forward. And what I would like to do is share with you how these candidates do respond to certain issues. And I'm going to be using an article from AMAC, that's the conservative version of senior citizens, a group that gets together and pools their resources for various benefits. So in a November-December magazine of AMAC, they had this excellent candidate comparison chart. And the candidates who they have on this chart are Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, Chris Christie, Tim Scott, Doug Burgum, Joe Biden, and Robert Kennedy. And as you know, Tim Scott has dropped out of the presidential race, and so has Doug Burgum. He's also dropped out of the race, not only because they did not qualify to be able to be on the debate stage, but as Tim Scott did, he just recognized the handwriting on the wall and said, there's no path to victory. So I respect the fact that he stopped spending other people's money on a campaign when he knew he had no hopes at all of being the GOP nomination. Former Governor Doug Burgum did the same thing. He decided that, hey, but there's no path to victory here. Let me just stop. And I agree with that. And in fact, I think there should be others who need to just drop out of the race now, because you are not going to be the presidential nominee. Chris Christie, of course, being the first one that comes to mind. You are not going to be the presidential nominee for the Republican Party. Now, so what we'll cover are the candidates we'll cover are Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, Chris Christie. We'll briefly look at Robert Kennedy and Joe Biden. Oh my goodness. He's just a walking disaster. That's all. But we'll look at where they stand on various issues. We'll look at the issue of abortion, national security, border security, the economy, and crime. Okay. Oh, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to join the conversation, feel free to call in at 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. One thing which I like about AMAC is that they are very objective as they print this article. They do not take a side either way. They simply place the position that have been expressed by each of the candidates in order to give us this comparison chart. Okay, let's look at abortion. Where does Donald Trump stand on abortion? First, he took unprecedented pro-life actions during his presidency, though he has expressed reluctance to enact a federal ban. And in fact, more recently, he has called out the state of Florida, ban on abortions after 6 weeks as being too aggressive. I disagree with President Trump on that. I think we should ban abortion at inception with no exceptions at all. And others will say, well, what about in case of the life of the mother? There is a pregnancy that can cause the death of the mother and the preborn baby, and that's if there is an ectopic pregnancy. That's where the baby that has, at exception now, is traveling and does not complete its travel from the fallopian tube into the uterus, that for some reason it can get stuck, and then as it continues to grow there, that can rupture and it will kill the mother and the baby also. So what do you do in cases like that? My good friend, Dr. Bill Lyle, who heads up an organization called Pro-Life Doc, who travels the nation, he's an OBGYN, board-certified doctor, who delivers babies here in Pensacola. He's a friend of mine, and he and I talk on occasion, and I asked him about that particular situation. He says, Mike, what you do is you do not abort that preborn baby. What you do instead is, as much as it is within your ability, that doctor's ability, you help that baby continue to travel through the fallopian tube into the uterus. If you're unable to do that and the baby dies while you are attempting to do that, then that is not an abortion. That is just a medical procedure which did not end up the way we wanted it to. So that's why I say there should be no exceptions about abortion. That once the baby has been conceived, once at the point of inception, it is a human being made in the image of God, image and likeness of God, and it should be protected just like any other person. Okay, so President Trump has expressed reluctance to enact a federal ban. Here's Ron DeSantis' stand. He recently signed a 6-week abortion ban in Florida, which is good. No, I applaud him, but I still think we need to stop abortion at inception. Nikki Haley, she has a flexible stance. She's pro-life with exceptions, suggests a pragmatic approach, whatever that means. It means you can kill the baby, if you think it's pragmatic. Vivek Ramaswamy, he wants no federal ban. He said we should leave that to the states. Chris Christie, he has flip-flopped on the issue, but does not support a federal ban. Joe Biden supports federal abortion legislation to terminate life in the womb up until birth, lunatic. And then there's Robert Kennedy Jr. He has also flip-flopped on abortion, initially supporting a federal ban after the first 3 months before reversing his position. Most abortions are performed before those first 3 months. Some states have a 24-week period of banning it. 90% of all abortions happen before then. And even now, the heartbeat bill, which I sponsored when I was in a Florida house, with no exceptions, and the reason why I sponsor what I call the heartbeat bill is because a heartbeat can be detected as early as 18 days. So I was really pressing that because I thought the heartbeat gives us our first indication of life being present there. But I was educated about that position by doctors and others and came to understand that, okay, let's say that the heartbeat bill did come into place and at 18 days you cannot abort that baby. And those who want to abolish abortion, which I have come to agree with, said, okay, Mike, at 18 days, you cannot murder the baby. But what about at 15 days? What about at 11 days? It is still a baby. And what you're saying is that it's okay to murder them then. And they were exactly right. So I've come to the recognition, and I thank my friends for bringing that to my attention, that at the point of inception, we should abolish abortion. This is Mike Hill sending in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. If you would like to comment on it, your position, the call-in number is 904-831-0917. Okay, let's look at the area of national security and where each of the candidates stand on that. First, we'll start with Donald Trump. He vowed to fully support Israel, but has criticized Netanyahu. He brokered the Abraham Accords, pledged that the Ukraine war would end within 24 hours of taking office, and imposed tariffs on China. Ron DeSantis on national security. Unclear whether he supports more aid to Israel, opposes more aid to Ukraine, and wants to end normal trade relations with China. Okay, Nikki Haley, national security, her position, suggests giving Israel whatever they need, supports more aid to Ukraine, opposes economic cooperation with China, and is open to military force. Vivek Ramaswamy criticized Republicans for reacting with hysteria to Hamas attacks, supports ending aid to Ukraine and Israel, suggests Taiwan fight China on its own. And here's Chris Christie on national security, called for whatever it takes to support Israel, supports aid to Ukraine, suggests pressuring China through negotiation. So Joe Biden on national security, a policy of appeasement towards adversaries. That just continued what Obama did. Chaotic withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan that led to the Taliban's resurgence, renegotiating the Iran nuclear deal, and released $6 billion to Iran. I read just the other day that Congress blocked that, that release of that $6 billion to Iran. Joe Biden supported aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Palestinians. And he eased export controls against China and engaged in diplomatic talks. Now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., on national security. He called the U.S. role in the Ukraine conflict terrible for the Ukrainian people. He condemned the Hamas attack on Israel. He believes China does not seek war with U.S., but wants to bury the U.S. economically. Interesting position that you see coming out of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But this much I will tell you, as interesting as he is on some positions, he is not a conservative. Don't think that he is a conservative simply because he came out very strongly, and I agreed with him, against the COVID vaccine and all other vaccines, against the COVID lockdowns, in fact, the entire reaction to the COVID scare debacle. I agreed with him on his positions there, but he is not a conservative. Okay, next topic, border security. So, let me get here. Let me find my spot real quick. Arg. Okay, here we are. Border security. Where is Donald Trump on border security? He has an America First immigration policies, included restoring his previous policies, aggressively confronting drug trafficking, and banning those who sympathize with Islamic terrorism, anti-Semitism, and communism. Ron DeSantis on border security. He pledged to send military to the border, send special forces to target drug cartels, finish the wall, and conduct mass deportation. By the way, Trump also said he would do mass deportation. Nikki Haley on border security supports sending in special forces to eliminate drug cartels, opposes separating illegal parents from their children. Vivek Ramaswamy plans to send military to the southern border, send troops into Mexico, secure the northern border, universally deport illegal immigrants. Chris Christie, he vows to send the National Guard to the border, but has criticized Trump for building the wall and flip-flopped on path to citizenship. Again, I am reading this from the November-December AMAC magazine, a conservative organization, and this is their take on each of these candidates. And they are using what has been these candidates' stated position on these issues. Okay, Joe Biden, excuse me, let me get a drink of water. Just a minute, please. Okay, thank you. That's much better. Okay, Joe Biden on border security. He created the wide open border policies. Illegal border crossings have reached record highs. He supports sanctuary cities, mass migration, mass immigration, and blanket amnesty. He's crazy. He's insane. You can't have a nation if you do those things. And here's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on border security. He criticized Biden's border policies as disastrous. He pledges to secure the border, called for ending endless floods of migrants pouring through an open border. Now, here's an important issue. Next topic, the economy. We'll look at the economy and then crime. And hopefully, I think, yeah, we'll be able to. We'll get through this before the break at the top of the hour. First, the economy. Where does Donald Trump stand on that? He supports tariffs, more tax cuts for corporations and possibly individuals, resuming energy production and deregulation. Ron DeSantis on the economy. Create tax incentives to invest in the U.S. Cut regulation. Close four federal agencies. Doesn't list what four federal agencies, but I could get a pretty good idea. Department of Education will probably be one of the first ones. And resume energy production. Nikki Haley would veto budget cuts not reduced to pre-COVID levels, would cancel $500 billion in green subsidies, and insist on zero-based budgets. Vivek Ramaswamy on the economy. Declare economic independence from China. Pledges to achieve 5% GDP growth primarily by stopping climate change policies and embracing fossil fuels. Chris Christie on the economy. Cut spending. Decrease regulation. Increase vocational education. Reform Social Security and Medicare for younger people. Joe Biden reached a record for the fewest offshore oil and gas leases in history. This is Biden's position on the economy, including killing the Keystone Pipeline while signing off on Russia's Nord Stream 2 pipeline. So he kills our pipeline, but he signs off on Russia's pipeline, which later on that pipeline was bombed as the Russia-Ukraine war took place. And we won't get into the speculation of who did that, even though a lot of people have opinions on it. But Biden continuing on the economy. He enacted the Inflation Reduction Act, which has not reduced inflation, but has given billions of dollars to massive green energy corporations, approved record levels of government spending and tax hikes on Americans. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on the economy supports climate change policies. I told you he's not a conservative. Cutting military spending. I told you he's not a conservative. And reinvesting that money in the economy. Reinvesting in American manufacturing. Okay, the last topic is crime. Where do each of the candidates stand on this according to this November-December article in AMAC? First, Donald Trump on crime. Signed the First Step Act into law. Supports severe penalties for crimes, such as the death penalty for trafficking drugs and murdering police. DeSantis, on crime, calls for repealing the First Step Act, that is what President Trump signed, and removing progressive prosecutors. I agree with that. Opposes removing mandatory minimums. Nikki Haley, on crime, reduced recidivism and incarceration in South Carolina, has caused for more mental health and addiction treatment, has given few specifics on how to reduce crime. Vivek Ramaswamy, his position on crime, address mental health issues, expand mental health institutions, reduce liability for police, and increase police on the streets. Chris Christie favors alternatives to jail for some drug offenses, but stronger penalties for violent crime. Joe Biden on crime. Crime has risen to unprecedented levels under Biden. He has not provided law enforcement with the support and resources necessary to do their jobs. He supports sweeping criminal justice reforms. In other words, being soft on criminals. And then Robert F. Kennedy on crime. Supports requiring police to wear body cameras. Supports funding to train police officers. Suggests increasing the personal liability for misconduct. Supports criminal justice reforms, such as releasing nonviolent criminals from jail. Okay, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is the position on each of the current candidates for abortion, national security, border security, economy, and crime, taken from the November-December AMAC magazine. I thought it was a pretty good summary. Of course, just because of space constraints, they couldn't put down where the candidates are on some other issues, or even expanding more on where they are on each of these issues. But I thought they did a pretty good job of just summarizing where all of this is. Now, none of that will make any difference at all unless we do something about restoring our election integrity. Everyone can see is being observed that in 2016 and in 2020, and I will say also in 2022, there was election fraud in a lot of places in the United States, and we need to correct that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill. I'm sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Don't turn that dial. We'll come back after the top of the hour. We're going to discuss election integrity and many other topics. I'll see you in just a few minutes.